trying to get their thing together, and so what? So what they plan sound reasonable to me. Why not support them?
And was there conflict in the group over it? And was there...
Our group?
Yeah.
No, no, because what we needed, their support. They needed ours. So everybody looks about it, how nobody feels.
Yeah.
And I'm like that now. When I think about gay people or lesbians, I think about sexual preferences.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you ought to be able to do whatever it is you choose to do in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have no business in your house to see how you what you do in your bedroom. That's the way I am. I don't think if you a gay man or woman, if you're a teacher, it should not have nothing to do with your ability to teach. Or if you're a preacher, it has nothing to do with your ability to preach. If you're a street sweeper, it has nothing to do with that. You go do your job. When you go home, just like me, you do what you want to do in your house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I leave it at that.
But it sounds like the youth conference, and I'll check out the date, was a time when here were all these different women's groups.
All different women. I saw more women than I was in my life in one place.
And who had different issues.
Different issue, but the same issue. The women have problems.
See, and that's what I thought you were saying when you were talking about women's, because I use women's liberation in a very broad sense. I don't mean just that white middle-class movement that was called...
It can be used like that if you got a broad mind.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a narrow mind, then you would narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when it first started talking about women's liberation, where it came across, it was not broad, and for the way I understood it at the time. Because most of the people were talking about... you know, they weren't wearing girls anymore. They weren't wearing bras anymore. But see, I wasn't about to go around with my breast shop slopping, and that's just the way I feel about me, y'all. However, I understand that girls and bras and things were designed by men designers. I don't know. That's what I was told. Corsets and all that kind of stuff. My mama wore corsets before me. So that's where it came across, that you wanted to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want a man to open the car door. I don't see nothing wrong with opening the car door if that's what he wants to do. Now, I don't have no problem with opening it myself. But if he feels like he wants to open, I will get in. You know, if he wants to open it for me, I will get out. But if he don't open it, I'll twist it on myself and I'll get out. I'll make a hitch out of it. You know, so I think that's what really came across.
Mm-hmm.
When it was first started.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after you really got down into issues, I don't think people really bothered about that particular segment of it too much.
So once in 71 or so, when you started interacting more with these other groups, did you start to change your thinking about it?
Meaning?
That you got away from the notion that what it was all about was bras and girdles and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's, you know, it didn't seem like that anymore. Because when I was around Arlene on that, she didn't talk about no bras and girdles and opening no doors and all that kind of stuff. That wasn't where she was. Neither was girls that. I used to be girl a lot because girl said to me, they were talking about getting their behinds beat. So I know God mind me, so I don't know how it is. So I said, girl, I know white folks don't get their behind me. She said, I got my ass beat every Saturday night. I said, no, now, you didn't get your ass beat every Saturday night, because that's what black folks do. She said, that's what you think. I got a woman every Saturday night. Now, I used to have some problem with that because coming up, that ain't what it appeared to be. It appeared that these white couples was the ideal folks and that you didn't have no problems and that kind of stuff. That's the way it appeared. tell you what, get around somebody who worked in them private homes.
Mm-hmm.
Like my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And she go in on Monday, and Miss Ann got a patch over her eye where she done got slapped.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they tell that, nobody knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't, I had no idea that people like Rose was getting a whooping on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night. I thought that's what happened out in the ghetto. But it didn't. She didn't live in the ghetto. But I know some women who did get whooping in the ghetto. But it said the same thing when she told me that. You can get a whooping outside the ghetto and you don't have to be black to get a whooping. But it was a long time. I didn't believe white men slapped their wives and their women around.
Probably more than men. It was when you began to hear that white women had some of the same problems as black women.
That's right. And that was a long time before. Because they don't usually tell it, you know. It's something they kept to themselves. A lot of women were coming.
Mm-hmm.
Where they really needed to talk to somebody. But they didn't. Like, usually where I come from, black woman don't care. Who knows? She getting a whooping. She will holler loud. She will ride in the street barefoot. It's coming to help me. But white women don't usually do that. So you didn't really know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then they began to tell it. You know, because I looked at Rory as a middle class, educated white woman. You didn't tell me you get a whooping. She's there every Saturday night. Because she left it. Made by something.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So if you look at it, it's the same thing where usually women who were on welfare, and so they were getting whooped too by their boyfriends or by their ex-husbands or by their husbands. He come by the house and something. Somebody else there, he questioned the kids who been coming, you know, and she got to fight with him and fight with social worker too. So she had two things against her.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really all boil it down, it's the same thing. But see what happened, the women, the attitudes was the dividing line. That's where the major problem was, is that the working women, the middle class, upper class women, the best as you want to deal with the class, had some problems with the women over here who they thought we were lazy, shiftless, and whatever have you, didn't know that they suffered the same as we. And I think that's what I mean when life an accident, anything can happen to you. I was out in a meeting one night, and these ladies, I was talking about doing this. These were white women, and they wanted to know how could they get started. And then I want to know where they live. They live in Burbank. I said, you got welfare assistance in Burbank? They said, yes, we do. We have plenty of them. Some of them, their husbands are left them. Or they done broke up for some reason. They got children. He ain't making no contribution, so they have to go on welfare in Burbank.
And
there ain't no black folks live in Burbank.
Well, for a long time they couldn't.
That's right.
Well, and so that's where your every woman is one of the men away from welfare phrase came from.
You don't know when you may have to.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in Kentucky, the white women in Kentucky who come from Appalachia up there, said, don't leave us out.
Mm-hmm.
Even though our skin is not the same as yours, we catch as much hell as you do, because we on welfare also.
Well, what year was it, you think, that you started getting a sense, interacting with all these other women, and starting to get a sense of the way in which women's issues were the same?
Well, I guess I really don't let's see, the article came out in 72. So we must be talking about maybe 69, 70, things like that, where, because I used to get invited to all the women, the National Organization of Women's meetings, I used to get invited to all of them. They always sent for some of us, you know. And we sit in on their meetings. I remember going to Miami to the International Temple of Sisterhood. You know who that is? That's an old Jewish women's organization. They had a big international conference on sisterhood put on by some Jewish women from all over the world. And it was three black people at that whole conference. Henry Boatwright was one, the singer, the baritone, a young lady who worked for one of the groups in New York, and myself.
And what year was that?
Must have been 69.
So you were beginning to have interactions with other women's groups.
Yeah.
And, well, because Eileen Hernandez was pretty early, too, and now, I think,
she was, she was a chairman.
Yeah, at one point, yeah.
Yeah, at one point, yeah.
And you, how did you meet her the first time?
I knew Elaine from here. Elaine Hernandez from here, from Los Angeles, from California. She's from up north California. I used to do a lot of stuff in Sacramento and Northern California. So that's where I knew her from.
As part of the state organizing,
yeah.
Then?
Yeah, okay. Well, I bumped into her. Okay. She'd been around in the Bay Area and in Sacramento doing some things.
Like you had really early, pretty early contacts with NOW.
Yes, I did. Very early, right after they got started. So,
but did you see them, at that point, you still saw your issues as being separate?
Yeah, and I learned a lot from them by attending their meetings and things, and I guess they learned something from me, because I was always asked to talk to the groups in different groups, and I sat in the conferences, so I guess I learned a lot from them, and I would ask questions. They asked me questions, so they was not familiar with the welfare system and how it worked, you know, I didn't really know what it was that they were trying to do, but it didn't hurt me to hang in there and find out, you know. So if you put it all together, except for the attitudes, if you get rid of the attitudes, the whole situation would be in good shape. Yeah, I don't think we've done a good job in getting rid of the attitudes yet. I think we still have some left. To an extent, I think we still have the attitudes about women who are poor or less fortunate than others. Yeah. And it might always be there. I don't know. Maybe one day it will vanish, you know, altogether. But I think that's probably what I was really saying. You can't ever tell, because I never thought I'd go on welfare. You know, that wasn't my thing.